Good morning. What a beautiful morning, isn't it?
Amen.
A little bit cooler this morning and a little overcast, and that's nice. And it's great to be here together to lift our voices and praise to God as a family this morning. I always count it a privilege to be here with you and have the opportunity to speak to you on Sunday mornings. And hopefully my throat's going to allow me to make it all the way through the lesson. I may have to stop and take a sip of water, and just forgive me if I hesitate for a few seconds. Stay with me. Don't fall asleep, and I'll be right back with you. This morning I wanted to share with you a couple of simple thoughts, and the title of the lesson this morning is, Yes, Me. And I know that's kind of a strange title, isn't it? We get those ideas in our head every once in a while, and I want to share that with you. We are going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, so if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to be in just a few minutes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to take a close look at verses 13 through 21, and the lesson will be yours. The yes, me concept. A couple of years ago, Janine and I got a call from a good friend of mine, and I went through school with him. We actually met our seventh grade year, and he had a Bible in his back pocket, and we went to pre-algebra, and we were sitting in math class, and he would get through doing his homework, and he would pull out a Bible and start reading, and I thought, I'm the preacher's son, why do I not do that? And I didn't know him, and I thought, I need to get to know this young man. And come to find out, he didn't really go to church anyplace. He just found God's Word incredibly interesting. And we went from our 7th grade to our 12th grade year, and he never became a Christian. He got married to a very good friend of mine I was very close to, and I actually kind of discouraged their relationship in the beginning. And then they had been married about a year, and he called me up and he said, he had even gone to Bible Bowls with me. Matter of fact, the Duncan, Oklahoma Bible Bowl still goes on there today, and we won that Bible Bowl together, he and I and two of our other friends. And yet, knowing all of the Word he knew, he had so much memorized, still wasn't a Christian. They were married in 1980, none of your business, right? And after we got out of high school, he called me one evening. And he said, can you meet me after work? I want you to baptize me into Christ. And I was an excited young man. I was still in my early 20s. And then many years later, he called me up and he said, I travel constantly with work. I have so many miles racked up. And American Airlines is fixing to reset the entire program, and I'm going to lose them all. And we know that your 25th anniversary is next year, and our 25th was, I guess they were coming up on 30, right? They were coming up on 30. And he said, we want to take you and Janine to Europe with us. Now, some of y'all are familiar with this. We were able to, which I will never do again, we were able to fly first class from here to Copenhagen, Denmark. I didn't know they had it so well in first class. Man, that is so... You know, instead of a bag of peanuts, you get a ceramic bowl with warm nuts in it. I mean, it's nothing like being in coach. It's really nice. And we flew from here to Copenhagen, Denmark, and we got on a cruise ship, and we cruised around the Baltic. And the first country we came to was Tallinn, Estonia. Tallinn, Estonia, which at one time was a part of the USSR, but because of where it is situated on the Baltic Sea, it has kind of stayed out of all the conflicts through the years, the European conflicts, World War I, World War II, and it has pretty much stayed untouched. And this is a picture from a rampart that was built in the 1600s across the old city, and you can see the Baltic Sea in the distance, and it is absolutely beautiful. And I remember standing on that wall, and Janine looked at me and said, can you believe that we are here? And I said, Tell you the truth, I still feel like I'm dreaming from the jet lag. And I have to look back now and look at those pictures, and it's still hard for me to believe that we were there. This is a picture from back the other direction. You see still more of the old city and then the modern city of Tallinn, which Estonia now is considered the most internet-connected city in the world. They have more Wi-Fi connections throughout the country than any other country has per capita. It's a very interesting place, and I love the old city. You can see part of the old castle kind of here up front that was built in the 1500s. And then there was this church, right? And it really caught my attention. They took us over to walk through it, and it was really neat. It was built in about 1439. That's a very old place, isn't it? And there was something along the way that really caught my attention, and I had to kind of pull on Janine and point him out, and the guy who was doing the tour stopped, and he said, "Oh yeah, I forget to tell about that. See this shackle still hanging from the wall? In the 1400s and 1500s, when people went to jail, they would bring you from the jail to the church every Sunday morning so that hopefully the priest could save your soul. So you were truthfully a captive audience." Wouldn't that be great? That would be great. And so I was thinking back to my years, many years ago, of my law enforcement duty. Like Jerry, our brother who comes to services with us on Sunday morning. And I decided I'd just bring my extra set and I'd get these to Jerry. And anybody sneaking out the back door, Jerry, if you need an extra set, just yell at me and these are yours. We'll just cuff them to the door and leave you right there. I wouldn't do that to you. I don't think I would. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? It's all about family. I couldn't make those jokes with you if I didn't consider you my family. Family's important. We reach out to family, and I was telling my class this weekend that Friday marked the day that I had been married to my wife for 28 years. And Saturday morning we got up, and the boys and I, we took her to breakfast, and as I told my class, I might tell y'all about this, you know. We all had pretty sensible breakfast, except for Preston. Had this big giant stack of pancakes with strawberries all over it and little pieces of cheesecake. I stole two bites off of the backside. Time shared with family. It's important, isn't it? It's one of the reasons why we have our Wednesday night fellowship. As a church of the first century, Acts chapter 2, devoted themselves to fellowship. And we want to do the same. But I wanted to share with you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. And I want to preface it by saying this. You have to realize that Paul is writing a second letter to the Corinthians, to a church that he helped to establish with Silas and Timothy. And it's a close church to him. It's personal to him. He has connections with the people there like I would have with you. And I look around, you know, some of the young girls that come and hug my neck and talk to me early on Sunday morning, I remember their mothers when they were pregnant with them. I remember many of our teenagers who are sitting over here who are going to be headed off to college, and I think we have one leaving on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Is that about right? Almost every single day, one of you head off to college. And I remember when Janine and I returned that first, just before Christmas, we came to services, and having known Jonathan and Jessica for so long, and I remember their kids were still so small. Jackson, about half the height he is now. Now he's grown up, and I would take him with me like a man to work on any job that I put my hands to. Several of you in this audience, I had as teenagers in my first youth group. And family is important. To share the memories and the times together, the trials and the laughter. And I want you to understand that this is the relationship that Paul has with some of the Corinthians as he writes to them. And he begins to write to them so many things that are important. And he talks about that from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 5. And he's trying to share with them about the things that they need to be about. He wants them to get their life right and to focus forward. And to be what it is that God calls them to be. And sometimes I think we have that same answer as Christians today as the Corinthians had. We go, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Me? You mean me when you're talking about this stuff? And it's hard for us to believe, just like our Janine and I's invitation here. Really, you mean us? All right. Follow along with me. I actually want to back up and I want to read to you verse 12, and then you can jump in with me here in the slide. For we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. He talks about that in chapter 3 even. He talks about, we don't really need a letter of recommendation. You are our letter of recommendation that is written on our hearts. When we go into some place, it doesn't matter if we have something that says, here's good men. Because we know that from the way that you treat us, what you've given to us, and the way that you've shared your life with us, that we have that letter of recommendation. And it's written right here, and nobody can take it from us. And so this is the people that he's writing to, so that you might be able to boast about what's in our hearts, not about our actions, because there will always be people who look at us as Christians and not understand our actions. Is that right? Every once in a while, I do some weird things. Ask my boys. Seriously, ask them. I'm sure they've got some good stories. But it doesn't matter, because they also know that in my heart, my intentions are all about caring for them. For if we are beside ourselves, one verse, the NIV says, out of our minds. If we are beside ourselves, out of our mind, it is for God. He's talking about the way people are viewing them. If they see us as out of our minds, they may see us as out of our minds because it's for God. It's for the man, God who created the universe for us, for man. We don't care. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. And that's what we do, isn't it? Let's see if I can get this. I kind of weave this thing through. Let's see. Let's turn it off. See, they're family taking care of me, right? Amen. Say that again. I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying the world sees us and we do such crazy things, and we're talking about being reborn again and living beyond this life, and they look at us and they look at the excitement that we have on the inside and they think, you people are nuts. But there's a time that when we come in and we sit down with you and we talk about, do you know how much Jesus loves you? Do you remember what he did for you? Do you remember the price that he paid? And in my right mind, I do that for you to share with you the message and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we are in our right minds, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us. One version says constrains us, compels us. It pushes us forward. The love of Christ is so great that we don't have a choice but to act and do the things that we do. It controls how we make decisions and what we say and how we act. That the world may see us out of our minds when you see that we're really in our right minds. Because we have concluded this. I'm behind on my slides, aren't I? It's for you. The love of Christ, which controls us or compels us or constrains us to move forward, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised again. Let's go back. Paul sometimes writes in ways you want to stop and go, huh, what's he talking about? Right? And as a guy who struggles a little bit with attention deficit disorder, sometimes I read through, I can pour through things. And Steve S. and I were talking about this last week, that I've come to a realization that the reading schedules that we lay out on the table in the back, it's not good for me. Because I read through and I read through, and man, I'm pouring through it, and I want to get through the New Testament or the Old Testament or the whole Bible by the end of the year. And I get through things, I think, what in the world did I do? I don't even know what I just read. And sometimes I need to slow down and take a step. And what he's telling us here, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that the one who died for all, who is that? Say that a little louder for me. Who died for all? Yeah, he died for all. Why? Because all have died. We've concluded that. For all have died, or will die, or die in the being united with Jesus in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, Romans chapter 6, 1 and following. Right? For all have died, and he died for all of them, for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who, for their sake, died and was raised. Man, that's an incredible message, isn't it? You are dying. Did you realize, right? You are all terminal. Every one of you are terminal. You get that, right? Everybody in this audience is terminal. All of you have an expiration date, whether it's stamped on you or not. You all have an expiration date. It's coming. That moment in life when your eyes close or your lungs stop moving and it will never, your chest will never rise again. It's coming. But he died for us and was raised for us. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is unimportant. This is only a temporary place. It's a temporary house. It doesn't last forever. Thank goodness, right? I keep thinking I get less and less good looking every year. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, you ought to be able to stand up to the truth, right? Some of you get better looking, but your day's coming too. Because it's not about this house, is it? It's about who it belongs to and what's on the inside. Not according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, if he is in Christ, and how do we ensure that we're in Christ? By figuring that out from his word. For if we were in Christ, that person who is in Christ has become a new creation. He is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, I love that word. You know why I love that word? It reminds me of my dating years. Okay? You know why? Because I used to love to just stop and behold my wife. Right? We need to stop and think about this. Think about what he's trying to tell us. Because he's telling us when someone becomes a new creation, stop and behold. Just take a look at him. Take a look at the beauty that flows from someone who's brand new in Jesus Christ. Been made whole and washed clean. How incredible is the power of God's love and forgiveness in the life of someone who has been united with Christ. Man, that's powerful. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. I live in a house that was built in 1976. I would like to live in a new one. I got way too much work to do around the house. I would love for a new one to come into my life, but that's all right. It's unimportant too. Behold, the new has come. The new. That's the reason why it excites me to see someone come out of these waters and step down. And I always want to go talk to them and pray with them and shake their hand and tell them, put their faith and trust in God forever. For the new, behold. Get it? Sometimes I think, here's my statement I haven't used in a while, right? Sometimes we don't get it till we get it. Then when we get it, we finally got it. So now you got it? Get it? All right. Behold, the new has come. That ought to be a reason to celebrate. It ought to be a reason for us to stand up and sing happy birthday, because the place that we sing happy birthday all the time isn't near as important as the one that comes from up here. And through the power of the contact of the blood of Jesus Christ. Happy birthday. It's time to sing and celebrate. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Man, I get behind my slides, don't I? All this is from God. See, I get all excited like Paul writing to the Corinthians. I just want to remind you of the goodness and the richness that there is in His Word. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Him. Reconciled us to the Father. We have to realize that's the message of the gospel. Jesus came to this earth and gave His life for us. Died on that cross that we might be united with Him. So that what? So that we could be saved? That's not necessarily. It's an action of baptism. It's an action of salvation. It's not the purpose of our baptism. The purpose of our baptism is to reconcile us back to the relationship that was lost in the garden. To a relationship where we can stand before the Father and talk to Him. That we can approach the throne in confidence as His children. Oh man. So we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. What is becoming a Christian all about? Understanding what Jesus has done for us. Being united with Him and reconciled to the Father. Now that's the message that will change lives. If we stop and say, you should be saved because you've been forgiven of all your sins. How selfish is that? You'll be forgiven all your sins. You get to start new again. It's still all about me. And salvation's not about me. It's about the Father, the reconciliation, the return to the relationship. Isn't that incredible? It's like when the boys steal all my Fig Newtons. They need to be reconciled to me. They got money and cars. Go get another bag. But I say that because we need to realize that it means that we need to take a few minutes with people who have given their lives to Christ and celebrate what they've done. Elevate before the eyes of the world who are hurting what they have through Jesus Christ. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. God was reconciling. Here it is, see? I should have read that first, right? I'm confirming with the Word what I just told you. God was reconciling the world to Himself. There's the purpose for our salvation. Not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Not counting their trespasses against them. That's incredible. How many times have you messed up? I make so many mistakes. And yet He doesn't count them against me. Entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, because we understand the process that we've just been through. That one died for all. And now that all of us have died for Him, that we've been given that message of reconciliation back to the Father. This is the message of the Old and New Testament. Adam and Eve, because of sin, lost their lives. Death reigned and through until the day that Christ came to earth. Now that we can be saved and united with Him, to be raised to walk in a new life. Why the new life? Because we've been reconciled to the Creator and Maker of all. How exciting is that? That's better than my team winning the Super Bowl or the World Series. That my reconciliation has been given to me to a God who created all. God making His appeal now through us. How does the world know? Only through you. If you're not telling them, who's telling them? It's about loving one another. We love each other, remind each other of exactly what Paul is doing, right? Don't you know that one died, and He died for all. And because of Him, all will die to their sinful lives and be reconciled to the Father. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin. This is in a song someplace, you know. I almost want to sing it. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. He knew no sin. So that in Him, we might become the righteousness of God. All right, time to close up because I'm a minute past. Y'all ready? Hang on, because here we go. I just want to remind us of a couple of things before I give you the opportunity to stand and open up the opportunity for someone to change their life. We need to realize as Christians today that the world is coming after us. That Satan has decided, this is where my war is from this moment forward. I will do everything to destroy you. To take your mind from you. To take your body from you. To take your family from you. Your children from you. And take you to a place that is so dark you can't see an exit any longer. But Christ tells us in the message of the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, is one that says it doesn't matter how high the mountain is, or how big the obstacle, or how deep the valley, or how dark the room is, that Jesus Christ is ready to take you from it, to help you overcome, to go beyond, to see further, to do more, to accomplish more, not for ourselves, but for His glory. That we might cry out to the world, even if they see and they think that we're like me right now, that I'm out of my mind. Yes, I'm out of my mind because I realize the mistakes that I make as a person every single day. It doesn't matter that I'm a preacher. I fall and I have to get up again. And I know that through Christ, I am reconciled to the Father when I set that relationship right. And I'm out of my mind for that. I'm out of my mind. But if I'm in my right mind, I can slow down and look around at you and say, there is only, young people, you realize, especially those of you who are going off to college, there is only one way that you're going to lay down in bed at night and be able to close your eyes in peace. And that is if you look to the Father first and say, God, give me strength and wisdom and direction in all that I do. And realize that's what He wants for you. His love is so grand. His love is so big. His love is so incredible that it reaches on beyond the dark, dark places that Satan has for us to raise us in victory in the name of our Father. As His ambassadors, we stand in a country we do not know, doing the will of the One who appointed us. We are plenipotentiary for this job. If you don't know what that means, go look it up. I'm stretching you this morning. You are plenipotentiary for this job, having been appointed by God the Creator as His ambassador to a world who needs the message of reconciliation. If we can help you this morning, set your life right, be united with Christ in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe we just need to surround you and pray for you for strength and guidance. Why don't you come as we stand and sing.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these.